Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, November 13th. What's causing a decrease in defense jobs in San Diego? More on that next, but first, the headlines. The House of Representatives has voted along party lines to reopen the federal government. Democratic Representative Scott Peters from San Diego said he opposes the deal, but he's glad government employees will now get paid and families who rely on food assistance will get their benefits. And although Republicans would not commit to extending the Affordable Care Act's premium tax credits, Peters says healthcare will be a major issue ahead of the next government funding vote in January.
They're going to hear from people who in January are actually going to see not just letters telling them that their bills are going up, but going to actually see those bills with astoundingly higher prices for the healthcare bills.
Senate Democrats say Republicans have agreed to hold a vote on the ACA tax credits next month. Yesterday, the county announced another drop in the affordable housing bucket. Kettner Crossing is an affordable housing development made up of 64 homes in Little Italy for seniors. It's an $8 million investment and goes towards the county's promise to put government land to use for the public. It joins the almost 3,500 homes already built on government-owned land in the region. 3 years ago, the county pledged to build 10,000 affordable homes across the region on vacant government land. Roughly 6,500 homes left until they reach their goal. Nearly $17,000 was raised in a virtual food drive for local community college students struggling with food insecurity. That money will be used to provide more than 33,000 meals. The seventh annual Pack the Pantry virtual food drive took place in October, but the results from the event were announced yesterday. According to the SD Community College District, around half of local community college students face food insecurity. The San Diego Food Bank will now distribute the food to local campus pantries. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Parks California in partnership with California State Parks presents Arts in California Parks, a program offering interactive arts and cultural events in parks throughout the state. Event info at parkscalifornia.org/arts.
Disruptions in federal government operations since President Donald Trump took office are having a direct, measurable impact on the local economy. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says a new annual report released yesterday found for the first time in years fewer defense jobs and less spending.
This year's Military Economic Impact Report was delayed more than a month because researchers at UC San Diego had a difficult time getting data out of the Pentagon. David Boone is the president and CEO of the San Diego Military Advisory Council, a nonprofit that publishes the annual report.
Producing the report this year was, I'll say, difficult. Difficult because we normally get the data from Department of Defense in March, April. We didn't get it until August, September.
And what that data showed was a retraction in San Diego's defense economy. UC San Diego Rady School of Management professor Michael Meyer heads the study. He points to two major causes.
One is the retirements and the separations of these federal employees. We already started to see that have an impact in the last fiscal year.
The other was how the government was funded during fiscal year 2025 via a continuing resolution. That kept spending locked at 2024 levels. The study found more than 16,000 fewer defense-related jobs in San Diego since 2024's report. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
NPR and PBS stations are asking for support after Congress cut more than $1 billion in federal funding. Reporter Katie Anastas says state representatives heard from California public media leaders at KPBS in San Diego yesterday.
Industry leaders say filling the gap in stations' budgets will be a challenge. Andy Russell is the president and CEO of PBS SoCal. He says many community organizations that have donated to public media in the past are dealing with federal funding cuts of their own.
What would be traditional partners we can go to, say, how can we do things together? They're working through some really tough cuts. So some of those traditional avenues and partnerships are not there.
Russell spoke during an informational hearing held by the State Assembly's Arts Committee. Assemblymember Chris Ward is the chair.
As we quickly approach the reconvening of the state legislature in 2026, I hope to identify fresh ideas and new ways of being able to provide meaningful support.
Without more support, he says, communities across California could see major losses in local news coverage. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
This story was reported, written, and edited by KPBS News staff members. The KPBS News operation maintains editorial independence from KPBS executives, SDSU, and corporate underwriters and donors. Next year marks 250 years since the Declaration of Independence proclaimed that all men are created equal and endowed with inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To mark the fight for independence, Ken Burns has produced a 12-hour documentary series on the American Revolution. It premieres November 16th on PBS. Amita Sharma spoke with local historian Ed Bloom and political scientist Carl Luna last month about that period and its relevance to today's struggles to preserve American democracy.
Carl, Ken Burns says the American Revolution is the most important event since the birth of Christ. Do you agree?
Well, it's definitely got to be up there, Amita. It's at least as significant as the Reformation with Martin Luther. But the question will be, how does it play off? Somebody asked a leader of China, what do you think of the American Revolution 200 years ago? He said it's too soon to tell. So do we live up to the dream? Then it is the most influential.
And Ed, the American Revolution was the first ever fought proclaiming the inalienable rights of humans. How significant is that for the United States and for people all over the world?
The political push for inalienable rights was really important, not only for people within the new country, but across the globe. It was really the first proclamation from people who didn't have direct political power that everyday people had rights. And it translated to, genuinely, to everyday people. There were enslaved African Americans who took it to heart. One who was Phyllis Wheatley, who wrote a poem where she proclaimed, "Liberty makes the weak strong," and it led them to sing, to speak out for their own rights.
Carl, along those lines, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, both are obviously legendary, but just as they advocated for personal universal rights, they owned human beings. They were slaveholders. In fact, Black people fought in the Revolution on the side of the British and against the British. Describe how complicated that history is.
People are a funny thing. I mean, there's contradictions that we all have within us. You have to remember at the time, just to be advocating for rights for average people, white people, was radical. Thomas Jefferson felt very conflicted about his slaves, but they were money. Too often in life, when your pocketbook is against your principles, your pocketbook's going to win out. So you got to look at the good they did, and they set up a system by which we could then address what they left unfinished.
And Ed, John Adams' wife, Abigail Adams, said, "If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion and will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation." How seriously were Abigail Adams' words taken by the men of that time?
It's interesting because John Adams responded to her letter almost mockingly. He called her saucy, and he said it was almost too much to hear that the petticoats, you know, women in dresses would even challenge. But then he said that if women were to uprise, he would hope that General Washington would bring his men to put them down.
Carl, George Washington famously turned down an offer to be king of the country. This month, there was a second nationwide No Kings protest that included tens of thousands of people locally. What would the founding fathers say about the country's current political situation?
But the framers would look at things and say, people have to protest, government has to govern. But at a certain point, when government's not responsive to the people, it is their right, it is their duty to change it.
And Ed, you're a student of U.S. history. Could you have ever predicted that American democracy would get to this point?
Well, sure, because there have been many times throughout American history when Americans' political leaders have overreached, whether it was Franklin Roosevelt trying to essentially pack the Supreme Court, or everyday Americans pushing back against government, that it was conservatives who made themselves into a quote-unquote Tea Party to oppose liberal politics. So while it seems today like we're in unprecedented territory, we're really not. We've been here before as a country.
I would say, though, that it is becoming with every day a little bit more unprecedented, because if you take a look at the disregard of rule of law you're starting to see at the highest levels of government without the checks and balances working, that's a little bit different than we've seen to a degree in the past.
Does American democracy survive this latest threat?
60-40, 70-30. It's one of those issues when you're in unprecedented times trying to predict. If you look at history, though, history is littered with democracies which over time grow too used to in themselves and allow too much opposition, and they fail.
That was KPBS's Amita Sharma speaking with historian Ed Bloom and political scientist Carl Luna. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 RAV4 with on- and off-the-road versatility and available all-wheel drive with gas, hybrid, and plug-in options available. Visit your Toyota dealer for more. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.